3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Lots to talk about in the college football world with COVID-19 going on, and we get closer and closer to the summer. Chris Lowe from ESPN.com joins us now. Chris, how are you holding up, man?
Doing great. Good to be with you guys. But looking ahead, trying to keep a positive outlook on everything, and hope we can get some live sporting events cranked up here sooner as opposed to later.
No doubt about it. And with regard to college football, Chris, I can't even imagine what these school presidents and athletics directors are thinking of and planning for, because every situation is different as we go through this from a state-to-state basis. And that's what makes it kind of interesting to try to figure out how all of this is going to play itself out.
There's not going to be any uniformity. And I think people, fans, we all just need to come to grips with that right now. Now, and that's not to say that, you know, one conference is not going to play at all and the SEC is going to play all 12 games. I don't mean that. But I've talked to enough ADs, enough commissioners, talked to several today, that they just don't see a way that everybody's going to be able to start at exactly the same time. Because every state has, as you say, Brent, every state has different restrictions right now. Every state, some states are more locked down. Some states are going to continue those restrictions longer. And if you're playing early in the season against a team out west, or you're playing, let's say two teams are playing an intersectional game in Dallas or something like that, those games are probably going to be the toughest and the diciest to figure out. But I just don't see a lot of uniformity where everybody's going to play 12 games. There are going to be changes. People are going to have to, you know, probably change on the in real-time situations depending on what happens, because, the question nobody knows, nobody can answer right now, is regardless of when you start bringing kids back, I know there's been a lot of chatter about that, is it's inevitable that somebody, a staff member, a kid, is going to test positive. And if that happens during the week of a game, you know, what do you do? Do you not play the game? Do you quarantine just that kid? Does he not play the game? These are all decisions that I don't think are questions anybody has answers to right now that are probably going to be real-time decisions and questions that we have to answer when they happen.
Well, and you would think that maybe, I don't know, the NCAA would formulate answers to those questions for everybody that falls under the NCAA umbrella, but that does not seem to be the case and probably won't be the case.
No, it's not going to be done. Mark Emmert, president, already come out and said they're not going to mandate when people start, you know, when they play, how many games. I mean, the NCAA does not control college football. You know, it just does. It's the enforcement arm for college football. But now I think they can provide some guidelines and will provide some guidelines and some help and some advice. But so much of this is going to come down to, again, state by state, who's able to do what the governor mandates in that state, what the college president at said university says they're going to do. Are students going to be back on campus? What are the testing capabilities? How equipped are we to test every kid and every staff member? I talked to somebody today, somebody I've known for a long time, who's a head team physician for a school, a Power 5 school, and he said that what's going to be very important is no matter when you bring them back, and I think most of the people in the medical field feel like that not bringing them back until July is smarter. And why rush right now? Why rush to bring somebody back June 1st? You know, give it more time. Let's see where we are July 1st. That's still, a month and a half away. But when you bring them back, to have the capabilities to test everybody and not only for the, you know, for COVID-19, for the antibodies, and just sort of see where you are and have a baseline and then go from there. I mean, I think that's going to be as important as anything. And once you get them on campus the week of a game, you know, certainly Power 5 schools, I think, would have this capability. You test everybody on a Thursday, players, coaches, and you get your results back by Friday. And then at least you know when you get on a plane to go play a football game on Friday, you know, who's tested positive and who doesn't. If you test positive, then you don't play that week.
Well, clearly there's going to be every effort made to play because of the money. In all reality, Arizona State AD said if there's no football this fall, it'll financially decimate the conference. That certainly is an issue that's at hand. Some conferences are already trying to think of ways to kind of cut costs in case fans are limited in terms of attending games. Like I saw where the MAC is going to no hotels for the home team the night before the game. They're going to reduce travel rosters. These are some of the things they're thinking about as well, in addition to whether or not we're simply going to play and when do we come back.
Yeah, our old friend Gordon Gee says we're going to play even if he has to suit up and play. I think Gordon's got pretty good hands. I think he'd go across the middle and catch a few balls for you on third down. What do you think?
Tape up those ankles. He's good to go.
Brent, I haven't talked to anybody, and not just in the SEC, but across the country, coaches, ADs, administrators, who really think there's not going to be any football at all this fall. I think there will definitely be football. Now, what's it going to look like? When's it going to start? How many fans are going to be in the stands? What are going to be restrictions on how many people can come in? Will people be wearing masks? I talked to an AD today who said he thinks that there's probably going to be a requirement, at least to start the season, where if fans are at the games, they're going to have to wear a mask. If they don't want to wear a mask, they can't come in the stadium. Things like that. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. I think we probably all need to be braced for that. But I think there will be football. And not just from the financial standpoint. I think that we'll be at a, I think by the time we get to September 1st, you know, and whether we have to start it a little bit later on in September, I mean, I think that's possible. You know, one of the medical people I talked to today said that they do not advocate playing in December, January, and February because you get into the flu season, which complicates matters. You know you're going to have a flu season. That's a given. You know, we don't know where we're going to be with this virus come, you know, January, February. Plus, you would bump up against the 2021 season. So a lot of unknowns. And I saw Andy Staples wrote a column last week, was really good, and he's 100% right. It's okay to say right now, I don't know, because there's so much unknown about where we go. But I do feel pretty optimistic. There's going to be some football this fall. Will everybody play 12 games? Will some teams play 9 games? Will some teams start in the middle of September? Will there be fans the first 2-3 weeks of the season? Will they cap it at 20,000 people, 30,000 people? I don't know. Those are questions that I know a lot of people have, but I don't think anybody can answer them right now.
Well, we appreciate the quick visit, Chris. It's good to hear your voice, man. Glad you're doing well, and yes, we'll call on you again, man. Appreciate it.
Look forward to it. You guys have a great day.
All right, Chris Lowe, at CLO ESPN. When we come back, new Titans president and CEO Burke Nihil. He joins us in less than 4 minutes. Stay tuned. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. 104.5.